Okay, Chizkuni, Parshas B'Shalach. So the Chizkuni starts out with the first pasuk in B'Shalach that says, "Vayhi B'Shalach Paros Am." So Hashem didn't let them go. Derech Eretz Plishtim, Ki Karov Hu. Because Hashem said, "Peini Nachem Amber Asam Lachama B'Shav Mitzrayim." Maybe if they went the straight way, the Jews from Egypt, then they might get in a war with the Plishtim. Ki Karov Hu. And Hashem says, maybe they'll turn back to Mitzrayim. So first, the Chizkuni explains that when it says, Pen Yinachem Am, it doesn't mean, of course, God forbid, that God doesn't know. Pen Yinachem, he says, means that God does know and they will. If they were to go to war with the Plishtim, they would go back to Mitzrayim. That's what, it wasn't that Hashem was afraid and didn't know. That would be the fact. As it says by Adam Rishon, when it said, Pen Yishlach Yodo Vikach, So it doesn't mean that Hashem didn't know if Adam would take. Hashem was saying Adam will take. I need to kick him out of Gan Eden. So similarly here, when it says Pani Nachem Am, it meant they will go back to Mitzrayim. So therefore, Hashem didn't send them that way. So why would the Plishtim go to war with the Jews? So it's Ki Karov Hu. What does that mean? So one explanation, he says, the Plishtim would go to war with them is because it was the Plishtim who killed out. There were some Jews who tried to escape Mitzrayim early because they thought the 400 years were up, and they were 30 years off because they thought it started from the Bris Bein Abasarim, and it really started from the time of Yitzchak's birth. So the Plishtim killed them, so they thought that Plishtim would have thought that the Jews are coming out and they're going to go to war with them. So that's why they would... the Plishtim would come out to go to war with the Jews. That's one reason. Another reason is, and this is fascinating, Kikarov Hu, the Chizkuni says, he's not the only one, he says Kikarov Hu means they're related. Who's related? Mitzrayim and the Plishtim are related. It says in Bereishis, in Perek Yud, Pasuk Yud Gimel, it says, Mitzrayim, Yalad, Es Ludim, Es Anamim, Es Lahavim, Es Naftuchim, Es Pasrusim, Es Kasluchim, Asher Yotzu Misham Plishtim. That's Pasuk Yud Gimel and Yud Dalet and Perek Yud and Bereishis. So Mitzrayim gave birth to all those people who gave birth to the Plishtim. So they're related. So that's what it means, Kikarov Hu, that the Plishtim, when the Jews would leave Egypt, with Egypt destroyed, so the Plishtim would have gone to war with the Jews because to help out their friends, the Mitzrim, because they were relatives. That's what's Kikarov Hu, they're related. Okay, so Hashem took them a different way, and it says, V'chamushim olu b'nei Yisrael. They went up chamushim. So we all know Rashi says they went up armed. That's what chamushim means. So the Chizkuni says, V'chamushim means like the Lashon by Yosef. It said, V'chimesh es kol ha'aretz. It means they went up full of food. They took plenty of food with them that lasted them a whole month. That's what it means, V'chamushim, from the Lashon of V'chimesh of Parnassa. And they took Yosef's bones, because Hashpeya Hishpeya, which means, Chizkuni says, he made every Yosef, it's based on the Mechilta, it says, Yosef made every generation that they should make their kids swear that they would take Yosef's bones out. As he said, you left me, you took me out of a pit in Shechem, send me back there. That's where he's buried. Okay, and then this is fascinating. It says, La Leches Yomam Balayla. That's in Pasuk Chalaf Aleph. It says, Hashem Halech Lifnehem Yomam Bamud Anan Lan Chasam Aderech. Laila Munesh, they had the cloud, they had the fire at night. La leches yomam v'laila, to go day and night. So the Chizkuni points out, maybe you never thought of this, what, they're walking day and night? That's a lot of walking. No sleeping? Constantly walking, day and night. He says, yeah, because Hashem wanted Paro to think the Jews are escaping. Because if they're just going for a 3-day walk, what's the rush? Why you gotta go day and night? The fact that they were traveling day and night seems to show that they're escaping. That's what Hashem wanted Paro to think, so he would come and run after them. Now, that whole idea of the 3 days that Moshe told Paro, you know, it's a question, obviously. Why was it done that way, and why didn't Moshe just say straight? So the Ran talks about it and addresses Ran, but this is a Chizkuni shiur. So what the Chizkuni mentions here is that they were trying to escape to get Paro to chase them. And even so, it says in Perek Yud Aleph Pasuk Beis, a few psukim later, Daber Bnei Yisrael v'yashuvu v'yachanu lefnei piachiros, which means they returned, like Rashi says, l'achareim, l'tzad Mitzrayim, like they reversed back. So the Chizkuni says that was because they said they were going to go back after 3 days, and they didn't want them to appear as complete liars, so Hashem told them to start walking back, which means so they traveled 2 days, and the third day they traveled back a day, so they were a day's way away from Mitzrayim. But as I said, the Ran mentioned something similar to this, that the reason Moshe told them 3 days is because Hashem wanted Paro to chase after them. The whole point was to get them to get to entice Paro to chase after the Jews so that he would be drowned in the Yam Suf. Okay, Kiljushin, right? You want to know more about it. But that, it's a similar idea here. Things were being done to entice Paro to run after them. However, they still did go back a day's worth to make them not Badoyin when they said 3 days. They did start walking back to Mitzrayim, which is interesting. Okay, then we have, so Paro starts chasing after them with his 600 chariots. So, you know, B'nai Israel had 600,000 men, fighting men, and, you know, altogether millions, but 600,000 fighting men. Paro came with 600 chariots. That doesn't sound like Paro's gonna win, and we, especially like Rashi brings, if they came up with swords and they were all armed, so why were the, why was B'nai Israel so afraid? It says B'nai Israel were afraid when the Mitzrayim came. What were they so afraid of? So, the Chizkuni says, I guess, a psychological effect, which is interesting, that since they were so used to having the Mitzrayim as their bosses, as their masters, their slave drivers, they were just afraid of them. It was just mental. They were afraid that they weren't going to win. Even though they're only coming with 600 chariots, they were afraid that they were going to kill them all because they were just used to being afraid of them. Anyway, Hashem tells Moshe to haremes madcha, lift up your stick, that's what the Pashup Shad is, over the Yamsuf. But the Chizkuni and others, many others say Haremes Matcha actually does not mean that Moshe stuck his staff over the Yam Suf, because he brings that people were making fun of Moshe that he had this magic wand over here, this stick, and Moshe didn't really have any connection or power on his own, or that Hashem would listen to Moshe, it was just a magical stick. So Haremes Matcha actually meant put it away, like Lahasir's Matcha, Harem, to pick it up and put it on the side. And Atei Es Yadcha, right, he actually outstretched his hands that's what it says. Harim es matcha unateyas yadcha. So it was his hands that he took away his staff and used his hands, put his hands over the sea, and then it split. Okay, so then we have this cloud. The cloud went to darken things for the Mitzrayim, and the fire was to give light to the Jews through the night. And then it says, so when it says, l'kar av zel zeh kol halayla, so the Pashup Shat we know is to mean that the Jews and the Mitzrayim were not kar av zel zeh kol halayla, but the Chizkuni brings up Shat, then it means that the fire and the cloud were not kar av zel zeh kol halayla. But in the morning, they did. In the morning, they came together to mess up the Mitzrayim. Like it says in Pasuk Chavtala, Debahi Bashmar Saboker, when it came morning time, Vayashkef Hashem Ala Machan Mitzrayim Ba'amud Eish Ve'anan, because they both came together in the morning, Vayamis Machane Mitzrayim, to mess up Machane Mitzrayim. Now, if you listen to this whole shiur just for this next thing, it's worth it. This is fantastic, super creative. Okay, the next Pasuk, well, before we get to the next Pasuk, I'm going to discuss Pasuk Chavay. So, imagine yourself in the way the Chizkuni just described. So you have you're in your chariot, we'll just call it, you're in your car, okay? It's pitch black, and all of a sudden night comes, and now there's still this anon pitch black, and this fire all of a sudden comes out to get you. So what would you do? Like, imagine you're on the highway, and you see this huge fire coming to get you. You'd cut that wheel, turn your car completely around, and get out of there. But then you'd be stuck in traffic, because everybody's running out of there. So you've got nowhere to go, so you're stuck in traffic. So you just say, forget it, the fire's coming, you run out of your car and run for it. That's what the Chizkuni says is exactly what this next pasuk means. It says, "Vayasar es ofen markavosav vayenageu bichvedus." What does that mean? "Vayasar es ofen markavosav" means he cut the wheel. They turned their wheel around of the chariots, turned the wheel around to go the other way. Vayenageu bichvedus, but they couldn't go anywhere because of the traffic, because all the Mitzrayim trying to get out of there, so no one could go anywhere. Vayomer Mitzrayim anusu pnei Yisrael. Then the Mitzrayim said, forget it, we're ditching the chariots, and they ran off the chariots and started running. But of course, it didn't help because, they all got sucked back into the sea. Okay, now there's this other pshat of the Chizkuni. I believe it's famous from the Gra in Yeshaya, I think. Anyway, it doesn't matter. It's the Chizkuni here for sure. The Chizkuni here talks about the splitting of the sea. Now, it's important to think about what that means when a sea splits. So the way a sea looks is there's, as you walk into the sea, like the floor is getting lower, 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 lower. Eventually, there's like a bigger drop, right? Where it can become, you know, as you keep going into a sea, it doesn't go all smooth. It's slowly going down. And then there is at some point a more steep incline, and eventually, you know, rivers go down, could go down thousands of feet, hundreds of feet, or miles, you know, depending on how big the river, ocean, or whatever you're talking about is. But it's a big drop. So, if you imagine, how would the Bnei Yisrael do this? They have to cross the Yam Suf. If the Yam Suf completely split, they'd have to rappel down the mountain, right? As it keeps going down, eventually there's this big drop. You'd have to rappel down, then climb back up somehow to get to keep going. So that would be a problem. So the Chizkuni explains the sea did not completely split. Only the top third split. The bottom two thirds froze. And so it says, Kafu Sahumos Belev Yom. They froze. The Tahom, the depths, those froze. Those became solid. So when the Yidden walked through the Yam Suf, it was flat land because there was Aretz, and then where there was below that, it was just all frozen, flat. So they could walk atop the frozen water without rappelling down any mountains. So the top third split, bottom two thirds freeze, and then there's frozen walls of water around them. Then when the Mitzrim join, so there's these frozen things behind them, or I don't know if it's frozen or solidified and whatever, not a lot of Africa frozen, solidified waters behind them. And then when they come in, so Hashem made the water stop being solidified. So as the Mitzrim are trying to run back to shore, the water behind them that was frozen now unfreezes. And the water, as they're trying to run out, the water's coming to them. So that's what it means. When it came, Lifnos Boker Lishano, and Bahamayim Nasim Likrasam. I'm sorry, Mitzrayim Nasim Likrasam. When the water turned back into flowing water, the Mitzrim were running after it, meaning because the Mitzrim were running to shore and the water is running at them. And says the Chizkuni, while this is all happening, the Bnei Yisrael is still in there being fine. Because the Pasuk says, Vayeshuvu Hamayim Echasu Sarechiv, they're all being destroyed. The next Pasuk is, Bnei Yisrael Holcho Bayabashab Sochayam. They were, while this is going on, the Mitzrim behind them being drowned, the Jews are still in the Yam Suf, not drowning, doing just fine, walking Bayabasha. It happened at the same time, which is also interesting. And so that was, as the next Pasuk says, Vayosha Hashem Bayom Ahu, on that day, meaning that day was a complete and total destruction of Mitzrayim, they would never see them again. Okay, then we have Az Yashir. So it says that Az Yashir Moshe Bnei Yisrael Sashir Azos Lashem Vayomru Lemor, and they said it over, and they said it to say it over. So the Chizkuni says that means, because you're supposed to say it every day. That means it's at least a remez from the Pasuk that we're supposed to say the Shir HaSayam every single day. So in case you sometimes miss it, if you're late to shul, you see there's a remez to it even in the Torah. Yom Rulemor, you're supposed to say the Shir HaSayam every day. So the Pasuk says, Ner Mumayim, so Unkelis says, Chakim Mumaya, they were smart. What does that mean? Meaning they were smart in throwing around the Mitzrim. I assume he means, like we said, the bad ones were sunk right away, the other ones got thrown around. Whatever it is, they were smart in being able to throw around the Mitzrim there. Or that the water was smart to catch the Mitzrim in every way. Okay. Then it says, Arik Harbi Tarishema Yodi. So Arik Harbi, Pashupshat is, I will take out, the Mitzrim said, when they were going to chase after the Jews, Arik Harbi, I will unsheath my sword, right, and kill people. But Chizkuni says it's as if it's like it means Arik Bicharbi. With my sword, I will remove something from something. What's that? I will remove the guf from the neshama, which is not to say I'm going to kill with this. Just interesting. And just one last point, when he says Nora Tehilos, and the Pasuk says Hashem is Nora Tehilos, he says Nora means when you have more than everybody else about a certain thing. So that's Hashem is Nora Tehilos, because he has so much Ribui Tehilos that everybody praises Hashem. He's Nora Tehilos. But the Lashon Nora just means you have a lot more than others. So you could have Hamidbar Hagadol VaHanora HaHu, when the Pasuk says that about a Midbar, means there's something special about that Midbar. But that's what Nora means. It has a certain Ribui in some way, which he doesn't mention this, but if you think about it, when we say in the morning, according to the Kehel Hagadol HaGibor VaHanora, Nora would mean he'd have Kol Minei Ribui. He'd have in everything he has greatness. And he says, Ose Pella, what's the Nora Tehilos? Ose Pella, what's the Pella? He says, the breath that usually comes out of your nose is a little warmer than the breath that comes out of your mouth. And yet, when Hashem says, Beruach apecha, with the breath that came out of his nose, nitzvuhu, kamo neid nozlem, he made things freeze. And nashafta berucha, when he breathed, which had been colder, kisama yam, that made it not freeze. Okay, that's the problem. He also mentions when it says, Hashem yimloch l'olam va'ed, what does that mean that we say all the time, l'olam va'ed? He says, l'olam va'ed is a shortened version of va'ad olam. La'olam v'ad olam. Hashem yimloch la'olam v'ad olam. From world to world. Which I assume means this world and the next world. Obviously it means forever. But it's a shortened version. Va'ed, it's like, sometimes that, like, he says, shor v'ches v'oy, sometimes you turn that into a comments, comments, but it's as if it said v'ad and just shortened off. La'olam v'ad, forever. V'ad la'olam. So it's forever and ever. Okay. Okay, so Bnei Yisrael leave the Yamsuf, and we have the story of the Mun. So, the Yidden complained that they needed food, and they complained to him, saying that you, Moshe, it's your fault. You took us out of Mitzrayim to die. Why'd you do it? Ki hotesim asano amidbar zeh, to kill us. And Moshe responds that you're gonna get the man, you're gonna get the slav. So Moshe says, Hashem heard your complaints, asher atem malinim alav, that you're complaining on him. V'nachnu ma, who are we? Lo aleinu t'lono sechem ki al Hashem. Why are you complaining about us? Your complaints about are about Hashem. That's the Pashup Shah of the Pasuk. So you can see Rashi, but the Chizkuni says it means that they were saying, Moshe was saying, I know you were being polite. When you were complaining to us, you were complaining to God. But you're not going to come to us and complain to God. You complain to us. It's like if you want to complain about the CEO, you don't come to the CEO, you know, you get fired. So you complain to the guy below the CEO as if it's his fault, and the CEO hears so that he could get the message, that type of thing. They were complaining to Moshe, but they were really complaining to Hashem. It wasn't like Moshe was telling them, why are you complaining about to us? He knew they weren't complaining about us. They were saying, Nachnum, lo aleinu t'losachem, we understand that you're not complaining to us, you're complaining to Hashem, which is, of course, not appropriate, or at least not in the way they did it. Anyway, so then they got this love, which he mentions this was not forever, this was temporary, because later on they wanted slav. This was just temporarily they got slav at this point. And they also got the man. So what is man? So he says something fascinating. The man apparently is Egyptian. And man, for an Egyptian, is ma, like in Hebrew. It would be, what is this? Man who, so man is not Hebrew, right? It would be mahu. But man, he says, is Egyptian. And it turned out that we continued to call it man. One, based on, similarly like the idea with Moshe, it could have a double meaning in Hebrew and in Egyptian. So here, manhu, same thing. Man happens to be Egyptian for what? And it's also in Hebrew from the pasuk, Vayaman lehem hamelech. Vayaman means to prepare. Hashem prepared for us the man. That's why it's called man, like it was prepared by God. Okay, and then they didn't have water. And it says, Vayarev ha'amim Moshe vayomer tenu lanu mayim v'nishta, which he just points out, you might not have noticed it. The pasuk says the nation fought with Moshe. Vayomru tinu. Tinu is plural. You guys, but it says they were arguing with Moshe. I mean, you guys. So he says it means Moshe and Aaron, and didn't have to mention Aaron because it's understood he was there. Okay, so we have the story with them throwing the tree into the water. Hashem didn't just make the water turn sweet, because he says Hashem always does miracles with some thing to make it look natural. As if, like, you throw something that would somehow sweeten the water. So they threw the, but anyway, then Amalek comes. Okay. So it says, Vayavo Amalek. So, from where, like, where is this coming off of? And Amalek came. Where'd they come from? So he says something fascinating. Which is, it said back in Bereshis that Esav left Yaakov, Vayelech al Eretz mipnei Yaakov achiv. So he left Yaakov. So Rashi, if you remember there, said that Esav didn't want to hang around Yaakov because he knew that there was a Shtar Chov that happened with Yitzchak, that Avram's children, starting from the birth of Yitzchak, they were supposed to be Gerim in Mitzrayim, right? They're supposed to be enslaved and all that. He didn't want to be the one enslaved in Egypt. So he left Yaakov so that Yaakov should deal with that, have to be the one who's the slave. Okay, so why is Amalek now coming? Well, You'll see it's also in the Das HaKadosh and Baal HaTosfos say the same thing. If the Amalek really wanted to kill the Jews, what were they waiting around all this time? They should have gone as soon as the Jews were on their way down to Mitzrayim. Then they only had 70. Now they had millions. What did they wait for? Why only now when they left Mitzrayim are the Amalekim coming? This is the answer, because they didn't want to kill the Jews. That means who's going to be slaves for 400 years in Mitzrayim? It would have been Amalek, because they were the sons of Esav. It had to happen to the sons of Avram. So once the 400 years is over, aha, now it's a good time to kill the Jews. Because now there's nothing for them to lose, because that Sheba, that Shtar Chov of being slaves was now over, so now was a ripe time for Amalek to attack the Jews. Okay, then it says that Moshe tells Yeshua, Bechar Lanu Anashim, so he brings, others bring this as well, that the Amalekim were magicians, they were good at Kishuf, and Yehoshua was born in Adar Sheni, good for this year, if you're listening to this now. This year has a Ibriar, so people born in Adar Sheni don't have a mazel, because there's only 12 mazalas, so there's no mazel for Adar Sheni. So therefore, magic doesn't work on them. So Yehoshua was born in Adar Sheni, and Moshe told Yehoshua, Bechar Lanu Anashim, men, people like you, who are also born in Adar Sheni, who also have no mazel, and therefore Kishuf doesn't work against people who have no mazel, apparently. Okay. Then he says that, I, Moshe Anochi Nitzav, I'm gonna stand up high. Rosh HaGiva, I'm gonna stand up high in the mountain there, and Matei Elokim Biyadu, and I'm holding the staff of Hashem. So, this is fascinating. This is the Chizkuni says, this is what gives people hope when they see the flag, like from the, Star Spangled Banner. Our flag was still there. That's how people know that their army is still fighting. If you see that the flag is still there. So the equivalent, says the Chizkuni, was Moshe holding the staff. He says, instead of a flag. Not much like that. Where every army has somebody holding the flag, as long as you see that the flag is still there, your army's still functioning. So Moshe was up there with his staff. That was the equivalent of our flag was still there. As long as they could see Moshe holding the staff, they knew they were still winning and they'd have Chizuk. So then it says that Yehoshua vayachlosh asamalek, like he weakened them. Why did he weaken them? So the Chizkuni said, because they were successful in doing kishuf on themselves. That they made it that they couldn't be killed by the sword, so they were only hurt. They were maimed, but they didn't die. So that's why it's only vayachlosh. And then it ends off, kiyad al kes kam milchama l'Hashem v'amalek midor dor. So what does that mean? So he said, the pashup said is, kiyad, ki means when, yad, you have the ability, al kes ka, to have a king sitting on the throne of Hashem, which is sitting in Yerushalayim. That when the Jews have the ability to have a king to be sitting in Yerushalayim, then they can go and make war with Amalek and destroy Amalek. Of course, the pasuk before said, kimacho emcha, I Hashem will destroy Amalek. The next pasuk says, Kisete says, Timchas Amalek, so who is it? Hashem destroys them, or Bnei Yisrael destroys it, so he brings that medrash that says that before they destroyed Yerushalayim, it was Timcha. But once they destroyed Yerushalayim, then Hashem says, Emcha, I'm gonna destroy them. So we look forward to that day when we will see the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash.